Okay, we're going to hear on the top of Kufbet Amun Aleph, 14 lines down, by the Meitabe. We ended off yesterday with Rav Ashi's solution as to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, that Di Boi Porik Amar, that if you have the ability to do redemption, then we classify it as if it was done. But Di E Boi Abazorik Lo Amrina, but we don't say that that's true by Zrikat Adam. Rashi noted the difference between them, that by Pidyon, redemption, there is only dibur, simply an articulation that you want to redeem it. It's a simple act that requires no maisa, and therefore it's something that you could say it's if it's done. If you had the opportunity, and it came about that there was this opportunity to do pidyon, even if you don't do it, we look at it as if it was accomplished, and therefore you can have problems like tumat ochlim, other items that happen when you say ki'ilu nifdeit. On the other hand, by ibay zarik, when you say that it had the opportunity to have zrikat adam done, we don't say that's ilu, you were zorek the dam, because that's a full maisa. That's an action. And you didn't take the action. So we're not going to say that you, as if you did the action. That's much more significant in nature. That's the way Rashi explains it. On the other hand, you could view it in a more intangible manner, which is that the pidyon and the zrikah accomplish different things. The pidyon is doing just a simple redemption of the item. It's removing kedusha from it. And that you could say as if it happened. Zrika, on the other hand, is something that is makshir the korban completely. To say that I didn't do the zrika, but I look at it as if I did the zrika, that's a little bit difficult to say. It's the difference between stopping something, we have kedusha, and you're terminating the kedusha. You could say as if it happened, and the kedusha disappears, or dissipates. But on the other hand, to generate a kashruta korban by saying the boy zorik, then if I can do the zrika tadam, that's as if I did the zrikat adam. That is way too much to ask in a theoretical basis rather than actually doing it. That's the way the Sfat Amet explains it. Now, the Gemara challenges this view of Rav Ashi. Can you really separate between these items of the iboi? That Rabbi Shimon will say it by pidyon, but he will not say it by zrikat adam. Meitavei klala my Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua has a principle. Over here, the Shita Mikubetzah changes everything into the female conjugation. So it's called Shaita La Sha'at Heter La Kohanim Ein Mo'alim Ba. B'chosh Lo Haita La Sha'at Heter La Kohanim Mo'alim Ba. Here's a principle with regards to Me'ila. When you have something that is Kadosh, then there is a restriction against misappropriating the item and using it for your own purposes. That's called Me'ila. Me'ila exists on items that should end up on the Mizbeach that belong to Hashem. Generally, we're speaking about this with Kodshei Kodoshim. Things that are Kodshei Kodoshim are, from the moment they were Nifkadesh, there is a restriction of Mi'ila, and that Mi'ila is only removed once you do the Zrikat Hadam. The Zrikat Hadam then releases the items to be eaten by the Kohanim, the portions that are eaten by the Kohanim, that's the Basar, and then the Emurim, which then end up on the Mizbeach, they're not released from Mi'ila because they still have a requirement to end up on the Mizbeach. They still belong to Kodesh. So the Mi'ila remains intact on the Emurim. And with regards to the Basar, it's released at that moment of Zrikat Adam. On the other hand, for Kodshim Kalim, there is no Mi'ila front because they don't have a high enough level of Kedusha. At the moment of Zrikat Adam, then it's transformative for the Kodshim Kalim in that the Basar is Mutar, but it never had Mi'ila before. The Emurim now have a din of Mi'ila because you now have to put those Emurim on the Mizbeach. Therefore, they attain Me'ila. What Rabbi Yeshua points out is that anything that had a shat heter la Kohanim, if the Kohanim had the right to eat it at any moment, then Me'ila is gone. That is because once the Kohanim have heter to eat it, then it's not in Hekdesh's possession, quote-unquote, anymore. It's already been released from that Kedusha. Once it's released from that Kedusha, there's no longer any Me'ila. So all you need to know is, can the Kohanim eat the Basar? If they can eat the basar, then there's no longer mi'ila. But it's formulated in such a way, which is, if there was, or it sounds like if there was a possibility of heter lekohanim, ein mo'alim ba. Base of shat heter lekohanim. So what is a time where there was a heter lekohanim? Shalana, it was left beyond its expiry. Vishinitmeit, it became tmeya. Vishiyatzta, or that it went outside of the boundaries where it was supposed to be. What's a situation or a circumstance where it never reached a heter lekohanim? you had a machshevet pigul at the time of shkita. V'chutz l'mkomar, you had a machshevet chutz l'mkomo at the time of shkita. V'shikiblo psulim v'zarku adama. Or a kabbalah was done by someone who was disqualified, and then they did the zrikat adam. In that disqualification, they did the zrikat adam as well. In the latter three cases, the korban was never effectively brought on the mizbeach. There was a failure so early on that the korban itself is pasul, and therefore it never attained the release from the me'ilah, because it never had a heter l'kohanim. So it never had a heter l'kohanim because it never got past the point where it could even be processed to that point where you would say, oh, the kohanim have a right to eat it, because the failure was so early on. The moment of shechita, you have a machshevet pigul, machshevet chutz l'mkomo. That's already posel the korban, even if you continue to complete the korban, but it's already pigul. There's no way that you can release it from the me'ilah, because there was never a point in time where it was a kosher korban. On the other hand, the other three instances seem to indicate that there was a period of time in which it was okay, and these are psulim that happen after these manaheter. But it says, kani miha breisha. In the beginning of the examples that it brings, the three first examples it brings is items that do have heter l'kohanim, shelano, mishinit meit, mishiyatzta. Those are the three examples. My love, what is the scenario here? Lana mamash. That it literally was lan. Now, lana mamash means, of course, lan means it was left over, it expired. The question is, at what point did it expire? So, lana mamash over here, the Gemara is assuming, is before zrikat adam. That before you had done the zrikat adam, you left the basar and the dam overnight. So you never did zrikat adam, but you left them overnight. And now they became disqualified, expired, because they passed the overnight, the alot ha-shachar, on the next morning. V'halcha, the bayhava zoriku. The reason that you would still consider to have heter l'kohanim is because you could have done zrikat adam. Since you had the potential to do zrikat adam, it's as if you did zrikat adam, and that's why you attained heter l'kohanim, miktani, and therefore the ein mo'alim. That's why it writes that there's no mi'ilah. The assumption being that the lana here, that the lina happened before the zrikat adam took place, and therefore there was never anything that was matir, the korban, to the kohanim, except for the fact that there was a potential that you could have put the dam on the mizbeach. After you shechted the animal, did kabbalat the dam. Had you done zrikat adam then, it would have been fine. You didn't. You got left. The dam was left, and it went overnight, and now it's pasul. But yet we're saying it still removes the mi'ilah. How did it remove the mi'ilah if the korban is not kasher? The answer would be because we look at it, or we view the time period where you had the opportunity to do zrikat adam, as if you did zrikat adam. And this would undermine Rabashi's position. Rabashi says that we don't say that. We say it by pijon, we don't say it by zrikat adam. Here you see, even by zrikat adam, the potential to do zrikat adam is enough to deem it as if it was done. It says, though, it's re'uya letzeit, u're'uya letameh. Two girsa'ot in Rashi. In the first girsa in Rashi, he leaves out re'uya lalun, or lalun. He leaves out the third case. In the second girsa in Rashi, he keeps it in. So Gemara would say, lo, re'uya letzeit, re'uya letameh, re'uya lalun. So in the latter case, let's take the second pshat in Rashi, it's saying that, not that this happened immediately, but there was a period of time in which it had the opportunity to possibly be subject to yotze, to be subject to tuma, and to be subject to lina. Meaning that there was a period in time in which there was heter l'kohanim. There was a period in time in which the kohanim had right to eat it. And at that point in time, it could have become tameh. It could have been taken out of the azara, could have been left to expire. So since you had the opportunity for these items to happen, that means it already reached the point of heter l'kohanim. And even if they happen afterwards, it's not going to change the fact that the mi'ilah was released over here, because they reached a point in time where they ru'uyim for any one of these failures. These failures are only relevant once you've crossed over zrikat adam. Once zrikat adam is done, basar is now available to the kohanim, then you have an opportunity that the basar becomes tameh, that the basar can be so biyotze. Basar can be problematic if you leave it overnight. But it's all achar zrikat adam. So Rashi over here says, klomar, does nizrak adam iksherot belo psul? All that means is that those psulim never happened. But since it now has the potential to happen, that means you've already crossed over zrikat adam. And that's all the meaning is. It's not that they actually became psulim. It just means that they had the potential to become psulim. You only have those potentials once you've crossed over Zrikat Adam. Or in essence, the Gemara's answer is, this is post-Zrikat Adam. And so when you're post-Zrikat Adam, we're talking about theoretical Zrikat Adam. We're talking about real Zrikat Adam happened. So that's the second way that we explained it. The first way that Rashi explains it is, lo, ru'uya letzei, ru'uya letamei, v'lo gersinan v'ru'uya lalun. You don't put that in the girsa, but pigon, shalona b'shat sh'ru'yali pasel b'yotzei v'tumah. The lina happened when you had the potential for yotzei in the basar, or you had a potential of tumah in the basar. And that's only true after zrikat adam. So now, since it's ru'uya to become pasel b'yotzei, or b'tumah, then if lina happens at that point in time, that lina removes the mi'ilah, because there was already shat heter the kohenim. And you can't say re'uya lalun, because re'uya lalun means already crossed over the expiry date. If it's re'uy to already become psul lina, that means you already passed the expiry date and it's already lan. So you can't have something that's re'uya lalun if it's the psul itself. And the second explanation of Rashi, the re'uya means that it has the potential in the future to have this psul in it. But that means just the zrikat adam happened and now you have basar that is totally fine. And Tosafot favors this view of Rashi, that the situation is where it was ru'uya, either la tzeit, ru'ali tamei, or ru'uya lalun, meaning that it's totally kasher now, it just has the potential to have any one of these psulim happen to it, which means that it's reached the point of heter the kohanim, but these psulim have yet to happen. In the first explanation, it means you are now in a stage where you can have this tumah happen to you. You can have this yotzei happen to you. It's at a time where you could become tameh, you could become yotzei. If it's lan at that time, then the zrika is mu'il for the mi'ilah to be removed. And that's because you already crossed over zrikat adam. The upcoming gemara doesn't fit as well if you explain it that way. And therefore, the Baal Tosafot favors heavily that second interpretation of Rashi. So there we answered the problem for Rav Ashi. And we say that it's not a case where it's ru'uya, but rather in a case where it actually happened. The zrikat adam happened. And so Gemara says, about lina mamash, had it been lan before zrikat adam, meaning the lina happened before you had done zrikat adam and the dam and the basar were left over, mai, what would be the din in that case? Akanami demo'ali. There would be mi'ilah there, because the potential for zrikat adam is not enough to remove the mi'ilah, only actual zrikat adam. It says then the language that the Braita uses is difficult. The Braita says, "Hai kol shahaita la shat heter lekohanim, b'chol shelo haita la shat heter lekohanim." That's what the Braita actually says. It should have read, "Kol sheyesh la shat heter lekohanim ein mo'alim ba." Then there's no mila. "Kol she'ein la shat heter lekohanim mo'alim ba mi ba'ile." It should have made it as a statement about the current state rather than a state that sees that happen in the past. It had a shat kosher. It's not right now, but it had it in the past. So the Braita seems to indicate there was a period of time where you would have classified it as shat kosher, even though now it's not in that state. Well, the only way to do that is to say that we looked at the zrikat adam in potential as if it was done, and therefore now, even though the zrikat adam never got done, it still had a shat heter lekohanim. If you read it, shahaitala, that it had in the past after the Kohanim, then that makes sense when you're talking about the dam in potential that was put on the Mizbeach. But the way you're expressing it is that it is Sheyeshla. It is now the Heter the Kohanim. It got Heter the Kohanim. It wasn't that it had it in the past and doesn't have it now. It has it now. The status is still there because you did Zrikat Hadam. That's what generated this status now that it has Heter the Kohanim. So the language that the Braita uses is not Meduyak, because the principle that it lays out makes it sound like this is something that happened in the past and now is not relevant or not possible, whereas the language that you would want in the Braita, the way you're explaining it is, this is the status right now. This is the case right now when you're looking at the Basar that it has Heter the Kohanim. So, Ella Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi has to come up with a different answer, because that seems to indicate that the Braita is saying that even if it has potential Zrikat Adam, that's enough to remove Mi'ilah. And that means it goes against Rav Ashi's principle that we don't invoke Kol HaOmed Israel Kizaruk Dami. Rav Ashi says, Mi'ilah Atuma Karamit. You're asking a question about two different issues. One is Mi'ilah, one is Tuma. Mi'ilah Mishum Kedusha. The reason something has a din of mi'ilah is because it has an elevated status of sanctification. It has kodesh associated with it, and if you misappropriate it, you're going to be chayav. V'lav kadoshai, and it's not kadosh now. The batad apokala kedushatei, but my hadra rachva la. Once the kedusha is released or removed, what brings it back or what reinstates it? In essence, what happens here is that you have the zrikat adam that never took place. So then the mi'ilah, the kedusha, wasn't removed from the item. So in that case, mi'ilah would remain. But we have Rabbi Shimon's principle, kol me'ed zrok kazaruk dami. Anything that has the potential to have zrikat adam, it's as if the zrikat adam had taken place. So by mi'ilah, all you need is like a hafsakat chashmal. You just need some sort of termination or blackout in the period there where the electricity or the current stops flowing. So here you had kedusha all along. All of a sudden you have kolomet nizro kezaruk dami. That tells me temporarily the item doesn't have kedusha because it's as if the dam went on the mizbeach. In the end you didn't put the dam on the mizbeach. So the kedusha shouldn't have been removed. But how do you reinstate kedusha? Once the kedusha is removed and it no longer has a din of mi'ilah, then you have to have something that reinstates it to make it kadosh again, to make it that it's chayav b'mi'ilah. That never happened. Just a simple temporary suspension of the kedusha is enough to terminate the kedusha so that there's no mi'ilah. And then in the end, when you don't do it, and it was just the potential, that's enough. That small moment in time where you had that potential, that already created a hefsek, that already created some termination of the kedusha. And once the kedusha is terminated, you can't reinstate it just willy-nilly. And so therefore there's no mi'ilah. On the other hand, tumah mishum ochla. The reason that tumah is working here is because the item has tumat ochlim associated because it's an ochel. Since it's an ochel, it can be mikabel tumah. And I'm going to use the girsa. V'lav ochlahi kolecha zarik le mishavele ochla umatamei tumat ochlim. Hecha lo zarik lo mishavele ochla v'lo matamei tumat ochlim. So in the case where you do zrikat adam, then the item turns into ochel, and therefore it's mikabel tumat ochlim. On the other hand, if you don't do zrikat adam, it doesn't convert it or doesn't change it into ochel in order that it be mikabel tumat. So for instance, in the case where you say, I look at the zrikat adam as if the zrikat adam is done. So for mi'ilah, that temporary suspension stops the kedusha, and therefore there's no more mi'ilah, and then when you fail to do the real zrikat adam, it's not reinstated, it doesn't go back. The kedusha was suspended, it was expired, and therefore you can't reinstate it without some sort of kedusha being imposed here, and that you don't have. On the other hand, when you want to make something into tumat ochlim, or say that it has the ability to accept or convey tumat ochlim, the item has to be converted into ochel, has to be transformed into something that is now ochel, can be eaten or is edible. I mean, that means whether it's ochel for the mizbeach, ochel for adam. But as that go through that process of being converted into ochel, when you do the zrikat adam, that's what happens. The basar is now available to the kohanim. It's changed or transformed into ochel. But in a situation where you say, I look at the zrikat adam as if it was done, that temporary state does not convert the item into ochel. For a moment there, it was called ochel. But as soon as that goes away, it's no longer ochel. It didn't convert it into ochel. It needs to convert the item into ochel, and that it's not successful at doing. There's a difference between, and again, this is similar to what we said before, is a difference between removing a status and then imbuing a status. By mi'ilah, you're trying to remove a status of kedusha. So that temporary time where you say, kol omit nizrok kizaruk dami, that's enough to suspend the status of kedusha. On the other hand, when it comes to ochel, you want to transform something into now ochel, there you need something much more significant to do that. You need to create a permanent state that the item is now ochel. That doesn't happen over here. You never transform it into ochel. Even if you say, kol amayit yisroel kizaruk dami, that kizaruk dami doesn't transform the item into ochel. It gives you a momentary glimpse where it could have been ochel, and that momentary glimpse is not enough to transform the item. It's enough to suspend kedusha. It's not enough to transform the item. But the way that Tosafot explains it is that when it comes to mi'ilah, then during the period of time where there was hetter the kohanim, the mi'ilah was suspended. Then when the psul happened, and now it goes back to its old status because the hetter is no longer there, what reinstates the kedusha? On the other hand, when it comes to the issue of Tumah, so let us say, when the Zrikas Adam could have happened, and in potential could have happened, during that period of time, it was deemed an Ochel. But then, once it becomes Pasul, it's no longer an Ochel, because it's no longer Re'uyah La'achila. And so then it goes away. The status that was attained during that period of time where it had the potential for Zrikas being done, and therefore it could have become Ochel, that's a temporary period of time. It doesn't transform the status permanently, it's only a temporary status that's given to it. But as soon as the item becomes Pasul, it loses that status of Ochla, and therefore there's no din of Tumat Ochlim, just because you had the potential to do Zrikat Adam. And for that reason, there's a distinction, and that's what Rav Ashi is claiming now. The reason behind Rabbi Shimon is, we say, Kol Omeid Lizrok Kazaruk Dami Ein Ochanami. But that's only in areas of Halacha where a temporary suspension or momentary suspension would be impactful. That's by Me'ilah. On the other hand, when you need transformative Zrikat Adam, that it can't do. You can't say, Kol Omeid Lizrok Kazaruk Dami now transforms this item into Ochel. It's not Ochel. You look at it now. It's not edible. It's not Ochel. That doesn't work. And therefore, it's not enough to be transformative in nature. And so for that reason, I can distinguish between Mi'ilah and Tumah, and then Rav Ashi can keep his position. He'll say, Kol Omeid Liftot, Kipadui Dami, that Rabbi Shimon says. Kol Omeid Lizrok, Kizaruk Dami, he doesn't say, at least vis-a-vis Tumat Ochlin. By Mi'ilah, there'll be a different din, because Mi'ilah needs a much smaller status change, and therefore the potential Zrikat Adam will be sufficient to do that. What you do have to answer, which isn't clear from this explanation, is why is Pidyon different than Zrikat Adam? You saw in yesterday's daf that Rabbi Shimon says that when you have a Para Duma on the pyre, the fact that you could have redeemed it on the pyre is Mishavel to Ochla. That Shata Kosher makes it could have been an Ochel, and therefore it changes its status to Ochel. How come that's enough? Whereas the case of a Komet Zrok, because the Zrok Dami is not enough to transform it into Ochel. He says Pidyon is, but Zrikat is not. What is the difference over there that you say it? Now, it might come down to the difference or the distinction we made when we started out today's daf between Zrikat Adam versus Pidyon. Pidyon, number one, lacks a maisa, it's just an articulation. And number two is, it's not so significant what you're trying to do. You're just trying to redeem or take off the kedusha. Again, to remove something is much easier than to instate something. So therefore, the Zrikat Adam, which requires action, a maisa, plus, you're trying to then transform the korban into a kosher korban, that it's too much to do to say in potential it happens. You'd have to make some distinction along those lines, but it's still, I would say, a little confusing because Rav Ashi doesn't clarify that point. But Rav Ashi will say in the end, Kol Omeid Liftot Kipadui Dami, Rabbi Shimon subscribes to. Kol Omeid Lizrok Kizaruk Dami, Rabbi Shimon subscribes to, at least vis-a-vis Me'ilah. But Kol Omeid Lizrok Kizaruk Dami, he does not invoke when it comes to the issue of Tumat Ochlim, because there you need to transform, and that it can't do just by having a potential Zrikat Adam. Person brings an Asham Talui, and he finds out he never did the sin that he's bringing the Asham Talui for. Now, an Asham Talui is a Korban that's brought al safek. It is for somebody who has a violation. The violation is a question as to whether he violated Isur, that had he done it bishogeg, he would have brought a chatat. Had he done it intentionally, he'd be chayav karet. So the classic example is the case of eating chalev. Chalev is something that's restricted by karet. Or drinking dam. That's also something that's restricted in karet. The person did it bishogeg, they bring a chatat for that. Now the person has a safek. They had in front of them fruit punch and dam. They just don't know which one they drank. They have in front of them chalev and shuman. They're just not sure which one they ate. So they are uncertain as to whether they violated this isur that would have been mechayedem in a chatat or karet b'mezid. And then they have to bring what's called an asham talui. This asham talui basically suspends any punishment or any isurim until the matter is clarified. Maybe that it's never clarified, so the asham talui holds you over in that period of time. So the person's bringing asham talui, and then he figures out that he really drank the fruit punch, or he really ate the shuman, and he wasn't in violation. If it was before Shkita, he finds out the information, he'd say, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says it's chulin the gamre. You can go back to the rest of the flock and go out and graze with the flock. You were never mikadesh for this purpose. The intent of the kedusha was because you thought you sinned. You didn't sin, so then the Kedusha never was kal on the animal, because it was a basically hektesh bitaut. And since you caught the mistake before you shechted the animal, it goes out and it's kulin. B'chachamim orim, yireh ad shis ta'ev, goes out to graze until it gets a mum. V'imacher v'iplu damav l'nidava. And then you sell it, and you monetize it, and those monies, they go to the korbanot, olah, that are brought in the mikdash that we've spoken about many times, the keitzah mizbeach. So the way that you explain the position of the chachamim, according to Rashi, is mitoch shelibo nokfo gamaru makdishla. Even though the individual now finds out that he didn't do anything wrong, the truth is he was bringing El Safek in the first place. And because he was plagued by the possibility of sin, he was gomer umakdishla. He's makdisha with his full heart because he wants the protection afforded by the Hashem Taloi. He's bothered or something is nagging at him with regards to the sin. And therefore he's makdishit b'chol dato. Even though in the end he finds out it was a mistake, nevertheless, when he was makdishit, he knew that that was a possibility. And despite that, he still was makdishit, and therefore there is a retained kiddusha in this item. And that's why you got to have it, have a mum, and then redeem it afterwards, and then the monies go to nidava, go to olot, for the mizbeach in the mikdash. Now we have a third opinion, which is, b'lez omer, yakrif, you bring it as a korban. Shimeinu baal chet zeh, haru baal chet acher. You don't need it for this sin, you need it for something else. And that you always have something on the list. It wasn't this thing, you have something else. Now, Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is clarified in the Gemara in Kretot, which is that he believes you can be mitnadev adam Hashem Taloi b'chol yom, that you can bring an Hashem Taloi as a voluntary offering. The Chachamim disagree and say it's an obligatory offering when you have a safek of the nature that we spoke about. Therefore, you can't just bring it voluntarily. You need to have a reason to bring it. And once that reason's gone, you can't bring the Hashem Taloi. So either, according to Rabbi Meir, it's released completely. According to Chachamim, it retains a certain level of kedusha and it goes to olat nedava. But for Rabbi Eliezer, who says you can bring it as a voluntary offering, says if you don't need it for this one, just make it into a Hashem Taloi nedava, and then you can bring it. Misha nishchat, if it already was nishchat, no dalo, then he finds out that he didn't need to bring it. Hadam yishafech, basar yisareif. Then the dam is spilled out, and the basar is burnt. The Beit HaStreifah, Beit HaDeshen, not in the Mizbeach. Nizrak Adam, if Zika the dam was already done, and then he finds out he didn't need to bring it, HaBasar Ye'achel. The basar can't be eaten. The reason being is that the whole point when he brought the Korban was a Safek. And so once they've done the Zika the dam, the Korban has done what it's supposed to do. It protected him on that Safek. He found out now afterwards it wasn't a Safek. That's fine. The whole point of the Korban was to be brought out as a fake. And the Korban worked. Did what you did needed to do. You did the Zrikat Adam. So now when you find out that it wasn't necessary, that's fine. That's why you were bringing it, because you weren't sure. And therefore the Basar remains kasher lekohanim to eat. They can eat the Korban Hashem. Rav Yossi Amer, afilo Adam bekos. Even if the dam never ended up in the Mizbeach, but now it's in a kos, it's sitting in a cup. Bekos here means a kli sharet. It was proper kabbalat Adam done in a kli sharet. Yizarek. You can put it on the Mizbeach, Basar Ye'achel, and the meat can be eaten. Before the Zrikat Adam, he finds out he didn't need to bring it. Right. So according to the previous views, that's the difference between Nishchat and Zrikat Adam. Right. When you find out about Shchita, after Shchita, before Zrikat Adam, you spill it out and it's no good. Rabbi Yossi says that's not the case. If you find out about it once there's already Kabbalat Adam done, you go ahead and finish the Korban. You do Zrikat Adam, and you can eat the Basar. Vama Rava, Rabbi Yossi v'shitat Rabbi Shimon Amar. Rabbi Yossi is following the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Damar. Because the reason he allows you to do the actual Zrikat Adam is because you already had the potential to do it. And we look at it as if it was done already. Since it was if done already, then go ahead and do it. And finish off the Korban. That would be a problem for Rav Ashi again. Here we see the principle invoked, not only in matters of Me'ilah, we see it invoked in a case where you're going to make the Korban kasher. It's a significant transformative act, and we're saying that the potential is enough to allow you to go through with it. Midu taima, that's not the reason of Rabbi Yossi. Amre b'marova mishmei de Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, hainu taima de Rabbi Yossi. That's not the real reason. What Rava says is not correct. In Eretz Yisrael, they say in the name of Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, this is the reason of Rabbi Yossi. The kasavar, klei sharet, mikadashin et apsulim nachatchila likarev. Klei sharet can overcome a psul to allow it to be placed on the Mizbeach, lechatchila. Now, that's a very strong statement and unbelievable position, that Kli Sharet are so powerful that anything goes into them now is allowed to be put on the Mizbeach. It transforms something that was Pasul into something that's Kasher. That's, wow. How do you do that? So Rashi already tempers the idea, and it says over here, Kagon Haikosh Nit Kabelbo Adam, Kachina de Psulim, She'ena Psulim de Gamre. The reason it works over here is because it's not real psul over here. A real psul is that something went wrong with the dam. There's some reason that there is a psul, became tamei. Something happened, the dam, it spilled on the floor before you got it in the coast. Whatever the psul is, the Kli Sharet there don't have the power to transform it into a korban that's kasher lechatchila. We've already seen earlier in the Masechta in Zvachim that maybe Kli Sharet has the possibility of making it that if it's alo lemizbeach, it doesn't come down anymore, because the Kli Sharet has that potential, at least b'di'avad, to transform it. But the chatchila to transform it, that's a big task for a Kli Sharet to do. So Rashi tempers that by saying, it's not something that was inam psulim de gamre. Something here, the problem here is not that the korban is pasul. The problem here is that he brought it as a safek, and he finds out that the safek wasn't really a safek in the end. He didn't need to bring it. So here he got so far along in the korban, and then he finds out that he didn't need to bring it. Kli Sharet then elevates the dam to say, continue on. Keep going. You've already reached a point where it finished off the korban. So that's all it means. It's not like Rabbi Shimon we look at it as kolomit zrok and zaruk dami. No, it's that the Kli Sharet is almost the equivalent of getting it on the Mizbeach. You're just short of getting it on the Mizbeach. And so here, when you find out that you didn't need it, just get it on, because the Kli Sharet is mikadesh it to the point where we say put on the Mizbeach lechatzkila. But it can't do it to something that's really pasul. It can only do it to something that has this quasi-psul in it. But now we've solved Ravashi's problem, because here it's not about kolomot Israel, because Zaruk Dami, and Ravashi's distinction can remain intact, that we don't invoke it where you're asking for a significant action by the Zrikat Adam. So Amalei Ravashi, the Rav Kahano, Ravashi says to Rav Kahano, Mita Amar Rav Shimon kolomet Israel, because Zaruk Dami, if Rabbi Shimon believes that anything that has the potential to have Zrikat Adam, it's as if it was done, kolomet Israel, nami kasaruk Dami. Why don't we say that anything that is going to be burnt is as if it is burnt? Notar, upara, the cases of notar and para, amai mitamim to matochlim. Why should they then be mitamim to matochlim? Afra ba'alma ninhu. They are like the dust of the earth. They are going to be burnt. The para duma on the pyre is going to be burnt to a crisp. It's going to be turned into ashes. So if in potential that's what's going to happen to it, why don't we view it as if it's done already? So we saw in Rabbi Shimon's opinion before with the Paraduma, since it had the potential to be nifdate, to be redeemed, therefore it has Tumat Ochlim, because you could have redeemed it. We look at it as if it was redeemed, even though you didn't redeem it, and now it can attain Tumat Ochlim. So Ravashi says, why don't we take it one step further? Why don't you say, since it's going to be burnt, as if it's burnt already, and now it's already ashes. So why should there be Tumat Ochlim? It's ashes. Amalei, Chibat HaKodesh Mechashartan. Wait a minute. You're right. And Okanami. But Chibat HaKodesh elevates them to a status where they can be Kabel Tumah. This again is something we saw in yesterday's daf, that Chibat HaKodesh, that there are certain things that otherwise are inedible, not Ochlim, and yet they can still be Mikabel Tumat Ochlim, quote unquote, in the Mikdash. And we said that about the Levona, we said that about Eitzim. Eitzim and Levona are not Re'uyim La'achila, yet they are Mikabel Tumat Ochlim. That is because of Chibat HaKodesh. The love of Hekdesh, meaning the elevated status of Hekdesh, brings them into a status as if they are Ochel. He says similarly over here, that's how it's working. Over here, the reason the Paraduma has Tumat Ochlim is not because of Kolomet Liftot Kipadui Dami, and therefore we look at or view it as if it was redeemed and now it's Ochel, because you have the offsetting side of that, which is Kolomet Lisareif Kitsaruk Dami, that anything that's going to be burnt is as if it's burnt now. So now you have ashes that are sitting here. Those ashes are Mekabel Tumah because of Chibat Kodesh. Even though they're not Ochel, because of the elevated status of Kodesh, they are Mekabel Tumah. Tosafot Yer Be'ir does ask, why doesn't Rav Ashi before, when we discussed the Parah Dumah, bring this explanation of Chibat HaKodesh? Back there we said the reason that the Parah is Mekabel Tumat Ochlim is because Kol Haroi Liftot Kipadui Dami. Why don't we say that it has nothing to do with that? It has to do with the fact that it Chibat Kodesh elevates the afar. Tosafot points out back on top of Kufa Amud Bet that when it comes to the concept of Chibat Kodesh, he says the imishum Chibat Kodesh luchudei halo mahan yachibat Kodesh l'shabye ochel shata yachol lachilol acherim. It doesn't change its status into something that others can eat. So it's only able to render it tamei if there's another reason why it's called ochel. And for that reason, the Balei HaTosfot suggests that before in the Gemara they said, how do we know by parat tumah that it is the kabel tumat ochlim? Well, then you have to establish that it had tumat ochlim at some point in time. So that tumat ochlim is granted by the fact that it was kol ra'oi liftot kipatoi domi. But then you have a second problem, which is kol amei saref kisaruf domi. Once you've already established that it's ochel, but that ochel is now being ruined by the fact that it's going to be burnt, and now it's really a fire, Chibad HaKodesh is able then to hold on to it and have it remain as ochel or classified as ochel, again, as long as it's not been burnt. Once it's burnt, of course, it's ashes and it's not ochel anymore, and then there's no longer any Chibad HaKodesh, and there's no din of ochel, and the meila is gone. But because you have a status of ochel beforehand, the Chibad HaKodesh is able to extend that even during the period of time when it's ra'oi l'saref, and it's kisaruf tami, it remains or retains that tumat ochlim because of kol ra'oi liftot kipadui dami, and then that's all removed once it's actually burnt physically. So that's why the Gemara earlier on didn't use Chibad HaKodesh to explain the instilling of tumah in the parah adumah, because Chibad HaKodesh by itself is not enough or not sufficient to deem it ochel to be mekabel tumat ochlim. So Amar Leir Ravina Ravashi, Nehi de Mahanyelu Chibad Kodesh Le'ifsule Degufe. When we say Chibad HaKodesh makes it into something that's ochel, that's only to elevate it to the status that it can accept tuma and render itself pasul or disqualified. Le'kruye Tamei Nami Libne Be Rishon V'Sheni. Do you think then that it has the ability to be mitamei? This is a terminology nuance that's in the Mishnayot. When a Mishnah says pasul, it means the item is pasul, but can no longer convey tumah. It's disqualified itself, but it can't create that disqualification or pass it on to anything else. Something that's tamei is something that is now rendered disqualified, but it also can be mitamei. It can pass that tumah onto something else. So what he's saying is, Chibat HaKodesh, that elevates something to the status of ochel, has the capacity to be pusel, to ruin something so that it is no longer good. But that does not imbue within it the capacity to then accept tumah and convey tumah forward. Or to have basically rishon the tumah, sheni the tumah, the normal structure of tumah. That's not what happens with Chibad HaKodesh. Ravina is questioning Rav Kahana's position over here and saying, how could it be that Chibad HaKodesh is working over here? And if you do think it's working and it makes it into something that's really tamei, tifshot to bai Reish Lakish. Then we can answer the question of Reish Lakish. Sarid shal menachot. The dry part of the mincha, monim bo rishon v'sheni, or in monim bo rishon v'sheni, can it be mikabel tuma, or can it not be mikabel tuma? Does it have a rishon v'sheni? Does it have this ability to have it become tamei, and then be mitamei, and then pass on that tuma to something else? Is that true, or is that not true? According to you, we can answer that question. From this case, we should be able to solve the problem, because you're telling me something that's afar, that is ashes, and as Chibat HaKodesh now has a din in Tumah. That means that you've answered Reish Lakish's question. Now, it's a Reish HaMinachot means the dry part of the mincha. The way Rashi explains it over here is, you have a mincha that's balul b'shemen, that's mixed with oil, but there's a portion of it where the oil didn't reach. And since it didn't reach there, it's still dry. So it was never mukshar the kabel tumah. It never had something, a liquid that was makshirit the kabel tumah as an ochel. And therefore, it's not mekabel tumah tochli mitzad ochel, but mitzad Chibat HaKodesh. And so now he wants to know, that's a reach from Menachot in Chibat HaKodesh. Does it become just pasul? Or does it have Rishon Sheni Tumah? It becomes really Tamei in the full stack of Tumah. That's the way Rashi explains it. The Balei HaTosafot give an alternate explanation because of a problem, which is that in general we have this principle that a Kli in Kodesh is Mitzareif. The Kli affects everything that's in it. It joins them together, becomes a single entity. And therefore, when you put oil into it, even if the oil doesn't actually touch every item, it's as if it did touch every item because the Kli brings it together. So therefore, the Balei HaTosafot give an alternate explanation that it's a case where you were bringing a dry mincha, like a minchat chuteh or minchat sotah, where there was no liquid on it. And that's what means Sarid Shal Menachot, the dry mincha. Although in Rashi's favor, you could say that the Kli is mitzareif items together to make them into a single unit when it comes to tumah. But that's not true when it comes to the heksha, the kabel tumah. And that's why over here, you would not say it. So when Rabbi Yerushalakish wants to know, and that's right mincha, is it Chibad HaKodesh just make it pasul? or Kibbutz Kodesh, turn it into something that now has full range of Tuma. So that's a problem now, because the way that Rav Kahana is explaining the din by Parat Tuma, that would have answered Reish Lakish's question. He says, no, Kimi Baile the Reish Lakish Do Raita, Ki Gamrina and the Rabbonon. The idea of Kibbutz Kodesh, we already saw yesterday, is a din Do Raita. Is a reboy by Babasar, L'Rabot Eitzim L'Vona. We have a reboy in the Torah that tells us that Chibat HaKodesh, or Tumah, has application to even things that are not Ochlim, like Eitzim L'Vona. So it's a Din Doraita Chibat HaKodesh. Reish Lakish's question is on a Doraita level, what is the status of Chibat HaKodesh? Is Chibat HaKodesh just simply that allows it to become Pasul? Or does that make it like a full range of Tumah, like regular Tumah? That's the question Reish Lakish is asking. You're asking me about something, and I'm telling you that the kolo made the srof kanami saruf, and I'm telling you the reason that it's tamei over here is chibat hakodesh, but I'm saying that it's tamei chibat hakodesh, that's a rabbinic tuma. And that rabbinic tuma has Rishon Sheni. He says, our answer only answers the question on a rabbinic level. On a rabbinic level, yes, there's Rishon the tuma, Sheni the tuma, it's not just pasul, it can pass on tuma. Reish Lakish is asking not on a rabbinic level, he's asking on a doraita level, is there Rishon Sheni in Tuma? That I can't answer because the Chibat HaKodesh I'm speaking about is not Chibat HaKodesh. That is the Doraita level Chibat HaKodesh. I'm speaking about a Chibat HaKodesh, the Rabbanan, which is that even though it's already Saruf and it is already ashes, the Chibat HaKodesh elevates it to a status where it can still be Mikabel Tuma. Alright, next Mishnah. Homer, Harei Alay B'machavat. Person says, I take a neder that I'm going to bring a Minchat Machavat. Now, machavat is a certain type of pan. It's a flat griddle that you're going to use to make the mincha. And instead, he brought the marcheshet, which is a slightly deeper pan, where it fries in the oil, rather than it being like on a griddle where it's sitting on top. Or he made a commitment, he made a neder that he's going to bring a marcheshet, and instead he brought a machavat. Whatever he brought is a korban nedava. But you still didn't discharge your obligation. You said you're going to bring a marcheshet, bring a marcheshet. You said you're going to bring a machavat, bring a machavat. Whatever you brought instead, that's a voluntary offering. We'll accept that nidava. It's very nice, but it doesn't do what you needed to do to discharge your obligation. Zola vima machavat. If the flower is sitting in front of him, as opposed to the previous case, which was a neder, where he obligated himself personally, over here he's doing a nidava. He's saying, this flower will be b'machavat. I'm going to bring it as a Quran mincha machavat. Be b'marcheshet. And instead he brings it as a marcheshet. B'marcheshet. If he says, this flower I'm going to bring as a Quran mincha marcheshet. Be b'machavat. And instead he brings a machavat. Harizol psula. That is disqualified because you designated the particular flower for this particular type of mincha. And now you changed what you were supposed to do with the flower. And that's pasul. You can't do that. When it's a personal obligation, we can say, when you bring the wrong thing, that you weren't discharging your obligation. You weren't even thinking about that other korban. You just brought another voluntary korban. The obligation still rides upon you. But when you're speaking about a particular object that you're now mikadesh for a particular purpose, you can't then change the purpose of that flower. And so since the flower that you pointed to and said, I'm going to bring it as a machavat, now you brought it as a marcheshet, you can't say, oh, that's a voluntary offering. You didn't offer a voluntary offering with this. You said you're going to bring this flower as a marcheshet. You made this flower for a particular use, and you misappropriated it, and therefore it's psula. Omer arealai shnei esronot la'avi b'kli achad. He says, I'm going to bring a korban mincha that is comprised of two esronot, but it's going to come in a single utensil. Be'vi b'shnei kelim. But instead he brought it in two kelim. Instead he brought an isaron in one kli, and isaron in another kli. Isaron is the minimum size of a korban mincha. The maximum size is 60 isaron. When he says two isaron, it can be brought in one of two ways. It can be two isaron in a single kli, or it can be two isaron, one in each kli. He said, I'm going to bring two esronot in a single kli, and instead he brought it in two kelim. Or, b'shnei kelim, he said, I'm going to bring it in two different kelim, and isaron in each kli. Maybe it'd be kli achan, instead he brought it in one kli, two esronot. Mashe vihevi, once again, whatever he brought, it's a korban nedava, videi chumato layatza. But he's not yotze the obligation because he didn't do what he said he was going to do. So we assume whatever he brought now is a voluntary offering at nedava to discharge his obligation vis-a-vis his neder. You have to bring something else. Elo bikli. Now again here, instead of making a neder a personal obligation, he says, this flower here, bikli echad. I'm going to bring all this flour with these two Isaronim here. They're all going to go into a Kli Echad. And instead he brought it in two utensils. Shnei Kelim, or he says, these two Esronot over here, I'm going to bring them in two separate Kelim. And instead he brings it to Kli Echad. Once again, it's Pasol. So over here, he didn't make it a personal obligation. He said, this item, I'm going to bring in this particular manner. When you don't do that, you fail to do what you said you were going to do with it. And that's a psul. Hare alai, shnei esronot, lavi b'kli echad. He now obligates himself personally to bring two esronot and to bring it in a single utensil. Vevi b'shnei kelim. And he brought it in two kelim. It's the exact same case that we had before. But here, amru lo, they tell him, b'kli echad nadarta. You told us that you were going to bring it in a single kli. We heard your neder. And in your neder, you said you're going to bring it in a single kli. He krivan b'shnei kelim. If he then continues and brings it with shnei kelim, psulim, it's no good. With kli echad, if he brings it in a kli echad, ksherim, then it is kasher. Now obviously when he brings it in a kli echad, he's done what he said he was going to do. So he discharges his obligation. And now he's done what he needed to do, as well as the fact that he brought a kosher korban. In the case where he brings it in two kelim anyway, before we said that becomes a voluntary offering, and he just didn't discharge his obligation vis-a-vis a neder. Over here, you're telling him he's pasul. That is because they told him what he was supposed to do. They said, bring it in one kli. You said to bring it in one kli. And the guy went ahead and brought it in two kelim anyway. But he didn't articulate anything. What he should have said, and that he didn't say, is, afal pikein, even though I said that, I'm bringing it the same neder achrina. I'm bringing it for another neder. I'm bringing it as a voluntary offering. The fact that he didn't articulate anything means that he didn't bring it as a nedava. He knows now that this is not the mincha that he thought he was going to bring, and he ignores them and brings it anyway. That means that he thinks he's doing his neder and it's going to work anyway. And that doesn't work, because it does not work for his neder. It only works as a voluntary offering. But here he precluded that opportunity because he didn't speak up and say that it was a voluntary offering. On the other hand, if he said, Arei alai, shnei esronot lavi b'shnei kelim, vevi b'kli echad, I said I take a neder, then I'm going to bring these two esronot in two different kelim, and instead he brought it in a single kli. So again, above we said that kli, that would be a nedava, and then you have to bring the other one to discharge his obligation. But before that, amru lo b'shnei kelim nadarta. You told us, or we heard you, that it was two kelim, that you were no there. He krivan b'shnei kelim. If he's makrivan in two kelim, ksherim, then it is kasher. Because he listened to them, that was his neder, and that works out fine. Now, though the kli echad, on the other hand, if he continued to put it in a kli echad, and continues to do this, k'shtei menachot shenitarbu. Over here, it's a little different than the other case, which is, here you have a problem again. He ignored what they said. He brought it anyway. He cleared it and articulated that it wasn't nedava. He's trying to be yotzei his neder with this item. So now he has a problem, because he took two menachot and combined them into a single mencha. So what we say is, earlier in the Masechta we learned, we have two menachot that are mixed together. If you can separate a kometz from each one separately, then they are both ksherim. If they're so mixed that you can't take off a kometz from each one separately, they are psulim. And the same will be the din here as well. Since you put it into one kli, and it's supposed to be in two kelim, it's as if you combine two menachot into one. If you can separate a kometz from each one of them separately, then they will be kasher. If you can't, then it'll be pasul. And Rashi points out that's true in the earlier case too, in the Mishnah, where he said, I'm going to bring it in Shnei Kelim, and instead he brought it in a Kli Echad. This same principle would apply there too. He said, this flour I'm going to bring in Shnei Kelim, and he brought it in a Kli Echad. If you can be comates from each one of them independently, that would work as well over there. Although Tosfos makes a suggestion that maybe this latter case is a little different, which is that in the first place he brought it in one Kli. They told him it was supposed to be in two kelim, so he split it up into two kelim, and then he recombined them into a kli echad. So you would have thought maybe because he originally brought them a kli echad, that makes it when he separated them out to two, it wasn't meaningful. The Mishnah is telling you that that's meaningful, and then when he recombines them to a kli echad, you view it as if it's two menachot that were combined into one. But in the earlier case in the Mishnah, where he said he's going to bring it in two kelim, and then he brought it in one kli from the outset, maybe over there it's not the equivalent of having two menachot be combined. So that's the Mishnah. Mitzricha, you need both of these bavot of the Mishnah. That is, diyash minan hachkamaita, if you only told me about a machavat and a marcheshet, mishum damar machavat, v'kai maiti marcheshet. You said machavat, and you brought a marcheshet, it's totally different. Av hocha, by the case of one kli and two kelim,
They're both brought in at machavat. So the question, if he brings one machavat or two machavot, or they're both brought in macheshet, maybe it should be yotze his nether. What's the difference between one and two? That's what the Kamash Malan is. That's why I brought you to tell you one kli versus two kelim is significant. Had you told me about the case of the one keli and the two kelim, you're dividing them up physically. Of a hatam over there by the case of the machavat and marcheshet, you're not dividing them up. You're simply just changing the kli, so that should be okay. Emalo, maybe there you won't need to bring it again, and you will be yotzi your nether. Tzricha, that's why I need both babot in the Mishnah to teach us that in either one of those cases, when you change it, it is problematic. Darabanan, mashe vi hevi vi de nidro leyatza. That's the nature of many of the cases in our Mishnah, which is that we deem whatever he brought to be a nidava, and he's not discharged his obligation vis-a-vis his nether, and he has to bring something else to discharge that obligation. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af yidei nidro nami yotza. Not only is it in the divine, a kasher mincha, on top of that, it actually discharges his obligation vis-a-vis his nether. And that is because, as Rashi notes over here, akula matnitin polik, Rabbi Shimon argues on the entire Mishnah, the gazavar kviyuta damana lav klumi. That setting up or declaring which kli you're going to bring it in is not meaningful. In the end, what you bring it in is determinant. And that's because, as we saw earlier from Rabbi Shimon, that your actions are mochiach, what you are doing. And therefore, that's the determining factor, which kli you bring it in, not which kli you declared you were going to bring it in. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon, not only do you have a kosher mincha, you have a mincha that discharges your nether as well. Zola viv machabat. Don't we have a braita that says that the kli sharet is not mekadesh them? So if they hear what you said, zo, that flower I'm going to bring in a machavat, and instead you bring in a marcheshet, in the Mishnah we said it was psula. But that assumes that the machavat is mekadesh the item to the point where now you can't transfer it out of this machavat into a marcheshet. You can't alter what you brought. The kli sharet wasn't mekadesh it. And if it's not Mekadesh it, then why is it Pasul? Samar Abaye, lo kidshum li karev, al kidshum li pasel. When it says, the Braita, that they were not Mekadesh it, it's not Mekadesh it to the point that it allows you to put it on the Mizbeach. It doesn't remove the Pasul from it. Unlike the Kli Sharet that we saw above in the Gemara, that it was able to overcome the Pasul, but there's Rashi notes over there, that was She'enam Pasul in the Gamre. It's not totally Pasul. Over here, the Marchesh that you're bringing in is a total wrong Kli. You were supposed to bring in a machavat. It's a total disqualification, total psul in the item. And there, the kli sharet are not going to be successful at elevating it to kedusha that can put it on mizbeach, but they are successful in the mekadesh it that you can no longer alter it and now bring it as a machavat. Once it's been placed into the marcheshet, it now is mekadesh it in an irreversible way so that you can now not bring it back and bring it as a machabat. And that's why in the Mishnah it says that as soon as you put it into the alternate kli, that it's disqualified. It's not that you have to actually bring it in that kli. You have to fry it in that kli. It's simply putting it into machabat disqualifies it from being a marcheshet, and vice versa, putting it into marcheshet disqualifies it from being a machabat. V'amar Abaye, lo shanu el shekav'an b'shat neder. This is only meaningful if at the time he took the nether, he said which kli is going to bring it in. But if when he took the nether, he took a generic nether saying I'm going to bring a mincha, and then at the time of separating out the mincha that he's going to bring, he says, I'm going to bring it as a machvat. I'm going to bring it as a marcheshet. He declares what he wants the mincha to be. That doesn't have any impact. If he switches, it's not meaningful. Because kasher nadarta, lo kasher hefrashta. The pasuk says you have to motzatz fatecha tishmor, that you have to keep that which you have said. That is only true with kasher nadarta, the way you articulated at the time of the neder. You're not bound by what you do at the time of hashprasha. And Rashi, consistent with his shita before, says that's only if you articulated this. I mean, you say I'm going to bring it in a machavat, I'm going to bring it in a marcheshet. That has no meaning. But if you put it into a machavat or you put it into a marcheshet, that would ruin the korban, like we just said before, that it's mikadesh li pasel, that has sufficient capacity to be mikadesh to make it pasul, and that would be true here as well. And that's why Rashi says every time that it's a case, b'shat neder amar, And then Bishata Prasha Amar. He's always articulating it. He's not taking any action based on that. So when you've articulated it, it does not lock you in any way. Once you've taken an action, then you're locked in. And if you change it, then it'd be problematic. If you continue on in that manner, it would be fine, because then you discharge your obligation, which was a generic nether to bring a mincha. In my nami, we have another member from Amoraim that seconds that. Amar Abba Acha, Bar Rav Chanin, Amar Abasi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Loshan Rosh Hakavan Bishat Neder. It's only meaningful if you were Koveya, which Kli at the time of the Neder. Abushad Afrashalo. But if you do that later on, that's not meaningful. The Neder is a generic Neder, and it will remain a generic Neder, and your obligation is just to fulfill that generic Neder. And if you say, I'm going to bring a Machavat, that doesn't make it into a Minchat Machavat, and you can switch it over to Marcheshet. And number one, it won't be pasul. And number two is, you will discharge your obligation when you bring the korban, no matter how you bring it. And that's because, kasher nedarta, lo kasher afrashto. It is based on what you articulate at the time of the nether, not what you declared you were going to do later on after you've already taken the nether. Okay, I'm going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph.